Welcome to the NBC Universal Audio Conferencing System. Please enter your 7-digit access code followed by the pound key. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Your conference will begin when the chairperson arrives. Please wait. You will now be placed into conference.
Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi.
Hi guys, this is Kristen from the PR department.
How you doing?
Hi, Kristen.
Okay, we're so happy that you guys were able to join our first fan conference call for this year's Halloween Horror Nights event. Before we start, I just wanted to do a quick roll call, so I'm just going to call out the outlet, and if you're on the say I'm here, that'll be great. First, we have Orlando.
Why?
Orlando Week.
Hello?
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 Yes.
The representative from Orlando Week.
You're kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, everyone can take off speakerphone if they're on speakerphone and mute if they can after we did the roll call.
Somebody's on speakerphone.
Kristen, it sounds like somebody's got us on hold as well. Universal hold music is playing.
Yeah, Kristen, it was Bernie. Lindsay just called me on my other line. I'm getting off this call.
Okay, thanks, Bernie.
Sure. Bye, everybody.
Bye. One more time. So is anyone from Orlando fine? Orlando Weekly?
Yes, Orlando Weekly. Hi, Seth Diversity.
Great. The Lakeland Ledger?
Yes.
Okay. TCPalm.com?
Yeah, here.
BloodyDisgusting.com.
This call is being recorded.
HalloweenHorrorNightsCollective.com.
Yes, I'm here.
FearNet.com.
Yes, here.
HauntersDigest.com.
Yeah, I'm here.
HHNRumors.com.
I'm here.
HorrorNightsCollector.com.
I'm here.
HouseOfHorrors.com. Okay, IdeologyOfMadness.com.
Yeah,
real. Ideology of Madness is here.
Okay, LostInReviews.com.
Yeah, I'm here.
Dream Chasers.
Right here.
Shock to right. You. Is Shock to You drop on the call? Behind the Hills.
We're here.
Okay, Blulu. Right. Destination Theme Park.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, DIS Plug.
Yeah, the Diz Unplugged here.
Okay, Florida Thrills Network.
I'm here.
Inside the Magic.
Inside the Magic is here.
Okay, Jim Hill Media.
Here.
Right, Orlando Magazine.
Yep, here.
Okay, Orlando United. OrlandoExaminer.com.
He is here.
Theme Park Insider.
Here.
And then Park Review.
I'm here.
All right.
Kristen?
Yes?
This is Vivian Cruzet with Diario Las Americas.
Okay, sorry, Vivian, I missed you. Gotcha.
Okay.
And this is Barb Neffer. I don't know, maybe I missed it with Examiner.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. Orlando Sentinel on the line?
Are you saying Orlando Sentinel?
Okay.
Dwayne's here.
All right, hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne.
All right,
cracking
guys.
Cracking up a lot.
We have three people from our entertainment team who are going to talk to you a little bit about this year's Halloween Horror Nights event. You know today was a big reveal. So they'll talk to you about what's in store, and then we'll open it up for questions. We have show directors Patrick Taylor and Mike Aiello, and then TJ Manarina, who is the director of art and design. So they'll take it away.
Hey, everybody. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey. Hello.
Welcome. Sounds awesome coming out of one speaker. Awesome. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey. Yes, the reveal was today. Big Fear is revealed. And obviously, if you guys have been to the website, I'm sure you guys have. We basically debuted the kind of look and feel for this year's event, along with the eight houses, brand new houses, eight brand new scare zones, two shows, and Rushmore. And we're really excited. We're very much to get all this open and be able to talk about it. Now, a little bit into what the fuck was for this year.
Every other word is breaking up. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Does anyone have different speakers?
I'm not on the speaker.
Testing.
Is that better?
No.
No, it's a lot of
echo. It's a very heavy echo.
Yeah, there's a lot of reverb on it.
Okay, if you're the call on page, he's on our side. If you're a call, do you mind just for a second?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Hello?
Not really.
I'm still hearing a lot of echo.
I'm muting my microphone altogether.
Okay.
How about now? Nope.
Still echo.
I'm in a cave, if that makes anybody feel any better.
That's what we assume. You're in one of the haunted houses talking to us.
Right. I didn't move my office into one of the haunted houses. I'm trapped here forever.
Yep. I thought you were just on a mega.
That sounds a lot better.
Now it's much better.
Sounds a lot better now.
Yeah. Whoever dropped off.
All right, there we go.
Now we can understand you.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. All this affirmation feels so good. It's very strange to hear 80 people talk one after the other. It's like some kind of weird collective. I love it. So I'll begin again. Obviously, today was the big reveal. Last night, technically, was the big reveal for Halloween Horror Nights 20. And we debuted eight brand new haunted houses, six brand new scare zones, two shows, and a look at what the overall thematics are looking like for Halloween Horror Nights 20. Kind of taking the
Whoever went home, the echo just came back.
Did someone just put the device, like a device, back on?
Yeah, I heard something beep on.
Yeah, it beeps a couple times and then it goes back to bad echo.
How about now?
Nope.
How about now?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not really.
Can you hear me now?
Still no.
I can't hear it.
Technology.
Is it all right? What about now?
No, that's good. Better.
You sound great. Yeah.
No one touch anything. To kind of take you through the process of what our thinking was for this year, we kind of were kind of stuck between two events when we came into the thinking of Halloween Horror Nights 20. We knew that there are some of our fans and people that love this event that desperately want a best of type event, and then you've got another side of the fence that always wants something new and original. So in going into that thinking, we really wanted to present an event this year that really gave our fans and our guests two sides of the same coin, which is exactly what we've done. We have a number of houses that kind of recollect back on some of the houses we've done in the past, but to present it in a brand new way. A few houses that pay homage to our past, as well as some houses that are completely brand new, showing storylines that we have not done before, showing characters, new terrifying characters that we've never produced before. Same with our streets, same template. We really wanted to give an event, almost a thank you, to the fans of Horror Nights, so they can come to this event and really see where this event has come from, but also at the same time, show them where it's going. Because this event is also not only about paying homage to our past, but at the very same time, we kind of want to pave the way for Horror Nights 21, 22, 23. We want to find out and find those characters and haunted mazes and street zones that are going to be the psychoscarapies of the future, that are going to be the body collectors of the future, the icon like Jack. What is the next Jack? Those are the things that we want to seek out and deliver, not only this year, but in the years to come. So 20 is a great opportunity for us this year to begin that process, the next 20 years. So that's kind of where our heads have been at through this process. And obviously, if you've been to the website, you guys have seen the houses that we're doing this year, the scare zones that we're doing this year, a glimpse at this new icon that is fear, which we're going to talk a little bit about today, but some of it we got to kind of keep under our belts a little bit because there's still some things we're going to reveal about him in the next few weeks to come. So I don't know if you guys, Patrick or TJ, you want to add anything to this? You guys just want to get to the question? You guys can fire away. Is that cool?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, then let's open it up. Let's go in single file line. Go ahead. Whoever wants to shout out something first, go for it. We are here for you.
Are there going to be any special packages with hotels and would the mission price increase this year?
Yeah, we do have special hotel packages, and I can send you the release with all that information.
Mm-hmm. How about
Florida? We don't handle that money stuff.
In fact, it's best if we don't handle the money stuff.
Okay.
What else you got, guys?
How does this year's event compare to past years in terms of gore and scare factor? Are we talking a greater intensity, or is it going to be a little bit of comedy mixed in?
We always want this event to be as intense as we possibly can make it, and we're always trying to grow that year after year. And that is what's going to happen this year. These houses, there are some that are insanely intense. There are other houses, as we've kind of formed a tradition in the past, where there is one particular house that kind of has a more comedic tone to it. We really like at least one out of the eight houses to kind of have that tone. It's been successful for us in the past. To kind of have that Shaun of the Dead type flair, something that's very self-aware. For me, I've been doing Bill and Ted for a long time. I'm very much a lover of comedy, but I also love that kind of that line that some horror films walk, that there is a kind of a definite line between the horror and the comedy. And the one thing that's always rings true when you're going to a horror film, especially with a group of people or your friends. When you do get scared, a laugh is usually immediately followed by it. So in that vein, we do have one house this year that kind of has that tone.
But it's not the house you're thinking of.
Well, you can't say which one.
I'm not going to say which one, but it's not the one you're thinking of. If you think traditionally along the lines of all the houses that we've done, especially the sequel houses, I'll give you that hint, especially the sequel houses, traditionally those sequel houses, depending on what they are, you see a different flair every single year. We're changing that up this year. And in some ways, we're saying goodbye in a lot of ways to some of these houses, at least for a couple of years. We may end up coming back to them in the future, but at least for a few years, some of these houses you won't see again for a while.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about the creation of the iconic character Fear? What went into to creating that one?
Absolutely. Again, in going into this year, because it is the 20th year of Horror Nights, and that is a big deal. The fact that Universal Orlando has been doing this for 20 years successfully is nothing to bat an eye at, we totally recognize that. So when we were coming up with some of the attractions we wanted to do this year and some of the houses we wanted to pay homage to and some of the houses that we were going to do that were brand new, we wanted a character that would seem all-encompassing. Something that you could visually look at, and it could stand among the other icons we've created, like Jack and Caretaker and Direct. This character could stand among them, almost stand above them, and visually you know there is some sort of control there, not only with the event itself, but possibly with those icons. And I don't want to go too much into this today, but that kind of gives you an idea of the inception or the conception of Fear himself.
I'll throw one thing in. Also, when we sat down and looked at this, a big goal of ours was to really, I says, to pay homage to the past 20 years, is to really show where we've been, as Mike has said. And the one thing that did resonate with us is that the one thing, since we change everything every year and characters and environments are new, one thing has been consistent, and that has been fear. Fear has always been here. Fear is what we create every year, and fear has been an element in whatever character environment we create. So for us, fear became basically our character that is going to become to life this year. We bring fear to reality every year. This is our opportunity to bring it now to the guest of Howling Horror Nights.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What are some of your favorite, you know, characters from the past that, you know, fans can expect to see this year?
Oh, wow. There are two major attractions. We've got a house that is going to pay homage to our past, as well as a street zone, a scare zone that will pay homage to our past. And we really kind of ran the gamut from even year one all the way to, you know, last year, trying to pick out the best characters that would represent 20 years of the event. So obviously you're gonna see characters like the Body Collectors. You're gonna see some of our favorites that have been in a couple years, Treaks and Foons.
But the street zone and the houses, they're not synonymous with one another. The house will have that it's going to pay homage to. It'll actually have characters from the streets as well as the houses, and the street zone will have characters from the houses as well as the streets. So you'll have a nice mix of both of those elements being in both locations.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's some of our favorite characters. It was really cool when we were kind of creating those experiences, mm-hmm. to just write on an ink board every single character that we loved, the ones that we've created, you know, while we've been here with the event, and even the ones before then. Because I know, speaking for myself, I came here as a fan. You know, for years 91 to 95, I came with my father. It was a yearly tradition for he and I to come to this event every year. And to be able to then to create those characters has been a dream come true. But going all the way back to even those characters from the first years,
this call
all
is
those
being recorded.
What's that? Oh, sorry. To go back and actually write all them out and actually hand pick our favorites, that was a problem.
It was a great day.
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
And the thing is that about anything with this event, you know, from day one, when we're sitting in that room, you know, with that ink board and a blank piece of paper, it always goes back to the fact of what would we want to see if we were a fan coming here? It's never at that point about, you know, what do we have to do logistically? What's popular movie-wise right now? It always starts in a very real and personal place for us to be able to look at, you know, we as horror fans and say, what scares the crap out of us? What character would look the coolest to us? Because there's enough of us here that work on this event. You know, it starts in a very small group, but then becomes hundreds of people that all have a passion for Halloween and really want to present the very best event we can possibly do. And we pour our every being into that. And it all starts in a very real and personal place that is what we want to see if we came here.
Was there a motivation behind or a specific purpose behind delaying the announcement of Halloween Horror Nights this year? Because in relation to years past, there's been a lot as far as the website and a lot of, we'll say, teasers out there publicly. There wasn't really much of that this year, and it took a long time for the public to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll speak a little bit to that. I would say yes. Simple answer, yes. Everything with this event, through the decisions of where we place it, be it Islands of Adventure or Universal Studios, the characters and the environments that we create, really are all driven by the story that Mike and Patrick have talked a little bit about. Really starts to lay out how we want to talk to our audience, how we want them to experience it, and how we really want them to ultimately be affected by it, come here. And so, for us, fear is a mysterious character. He is something that eludes everybody. He always lives in the shadows. He is something that preys on your every nightmare. And the biggest thing is the unknown. And so for us, to be able to keep the information somewhat contained, somewhat hidden from our audience, and slowly, piece by piece, reveal it, and that's what, to Mike's point too, is that over the next few weeks, it's not going to stop here with this conversation.
What?
You're going to get some more elements. You're going to get some more components of it to where you finally have to face your own fears by coming to this event and experience it is our ultimate goal. So yes, again, simple answer, yes. The long answer is everything has a meaning, everything has a place.
Mm-hmm. Will you have 20th anniversary merchandise and or retro merchandise?
Well, yes. I think we haven't seen our full basically merchandise line just yet. Of course, that's like we are right now in development. By like anything, we are going to definitely give opportunities for our guests not only to purchase, but at the same time also see through the attractions and possibly some displays some of the past 20 years of Fear.
Playing upon that question. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Can you give us some insight into why Rocky Horror is not returning this year and if we might ever see it in the future?
Well, it's like everything. You know, within our scope of characters and shows definitely fit into that category. Bill and Ted probably is the one that's always going to be here. Everything else we do really is up for grabs. And this year we felt, you know, being all new, Rocky Horror was going to be something that might come back in a few years, might not. You know, it really depends on what we feel is the best for our audience and the mix of content. So the answer is yes, it's not part of this. It's no plan reason. It's just that we felt we had some other options, and then could it come back in 2 years? Yes, it could come back in 2 years.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Playing upon the 20th anniversary, is there any plans on maybe creating like a documentary with all the archive footage that you've gathered over the years?
You know what's funny about that? Our fans seem to have documentaries already made. If you go on YouTube right now, the one thing that can be said about the Horror Nights fan is that they are probably the most passionate group you'll ever meet in the entire face of the planet.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I've been on YouTube recently, and they've actually created documentaries and 18 to 20 minute short films based around the thematics of the event. And so yeah, we're always thinking about trying to do something that that kind of shows our history, but really all the fans that go to this event already know it. It's really amazing how much they know in comparison to some people that even work on the event. There's sometimes, well, like, what was year three? And, you know, I'll go on the internet and go, oh, that, yes, it was that, those houses. It's fan site. It's awesome. I love that there are these groups that are that passionate about this event that feel the same way we do about Halloween and horror and Halloween Horror Nights. That's just amazing to me. But we're always thinking about ways that we can try and capture, you know, the history of the event. But I'll be quite honest with you, with everything else we do, like, because Halloween is a year-round process. The minute this event opens, actually the month before the event opens, we start the next year, so that we can stay on task with all the approvals that need to happen, to make sure that we're meeting construction deadlines. So there's never really a downtime for this event where those of us who create it can step away and go, all right, how can we package up everything we've done? That's rough to do sometimes when we're always trying to remain consistent with picking up the next year creatively, because there really is no downtime anymore.
We saw the name Legendary Truth in 2008, and obviously we see it a little bit more this year, obviously, with a house entitled Legendary Truth. And leading up to the website, we, you know, saw Legendary Truth on the website itself. Is that going to be more of a fan-based game this year, or is it just something to go along with the event?
Yes.
did I throw a wrong question out?
A mixture of both, and I'm not at liberty to talk about the investigation. Okay, that was my story voice. Now, no, Legendary Truth actually has a wonderful role within this year's environment. Like you mentioned, 2 years ago, it was built as a way to investigate the hidden legends of Bloody Mary. This year, we felt it has a place within the entertainment content for the fans to really understand how the 20 years really have been connected and how Fear has been a part of this event for all 20 years. As we continue, it becomes an opportunity for the fans to be not only a part of the event, but actually to become the event. So look for ways to experience it different ways, through Facebook, through online, through possible in-park scenarios, and those things will happen as the months or the weeks progress.
Okay.
Beyond theming and story, what technology or special effects will there be this year?
Yeah, based on the houses, there's a lot of different things that we're doing that we've never done before. We're going out on a limb in a lot of ways because there's a lot of experimental technology that we've never used in any of our mazes that we're utilizing this year. One instance, we have never attempted to or gotten away with at any time having open flame involved in a house. And this year, that is something that we will be incorporating into one of our mazes.
You guys in the past have done YouTube production diaries and giving a behind-the-scenes glimpse on what you guys do in order to put on this production and what goes into putting it together. Will you guys be doing that again this year and letting people see what all goes through to putting on the event?
Well, currently, right now, that was part of our 2006 actually web teaser campaign. We kind of did production diaries that kind of did show you the evolution of the event. From right now, a lot of what we create and do and produce is all coming to its final conclusion. So right now, those aren't part of our plan as we move forward. But we are going to message a lot of what we have done through some of the, like I said, the PR scenarios and, like I said, through the Legendary Truths. So I think our audience will get a chance, if they've never seen Halloween Horror Nights before, like we've hoped, is they'll get a chance to see what we've done for 20 years and get all excited about the new opportunities and the new characters that they're going to get a chance to see this year. As we've messaged a little bit, the past has brought us to today, but it really is about now and what comes, tomorrow.
Hey, I was wondering if you have any new ideas about logistics this year to combat the conga line effect. I know Busch Gardens has got a special upcharge solo haunted house this year. I know you guys have a lot more express pass people who are going to be coming in with the frequent fear with express. So do you have any new ideas for combating the line?
Well, inevitably, we always recommend, and anybody speaks to us about what's the best way to experience this event, is if you can come on a non-peak night, the event by far is by your choice. You can make it to most environments, houses, scare zone shows, really take a leisure way around the event. If you come on a night that we know we're going to have large numbers, we're trying to minimize that by giving you better ticket programming. So if you can have a frequent fear pass with Express, that helps get you to different nights and spread out your experience. We also know that our queue line experiences, because if you have to wait, which we don't want you to have to wait, but if you have to, we're trying to come up with new ways to really give the audience ways to still be involved with the experience in the line. And we're doing some of the new mobile technology. We actually piloted some stuff about 2 years ago. We did some online, some mobile trivia games. We've actually expanded those this year, working with our MVC partners on some really cool ways to kind of give you the story, actually involve yourself with some of the characters through texting in line, to give you a feel, even though you have to wait, you're going to feel like at least you're getting a part of the show. So we're trying to figure out our best ways to do that, but inevitably, the success and the love of this event, we have lines, but we try to make it as best as possible for the guests to have the best time.
Last year that we saw Universal Classic Monsters, Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein. Are we going to see them make a comeback or any other Classic Monsters, maybe Frankenstein in the steampunk area, the scare zone?
I will say this. No creature is off limits as far as what you may or may not see out in the streets or in the houses.
What about Bloody
Mary? Does that include Bloody Mary?
I stand by my statement. No.
What about the queue videos, and is there any word about what you can incorporate them or any ideas to make them more immersive?
Throughout, what TJ just spoke on about making the queue experience more entertaining for people who have to stand in line, we of course don't want anybody to have to do that, but they inevitably will. There are several different opportunities that we're going to give this year for our guests to be entertained inside the lines. Definitely. It's going to be more expansive than it has been in the past. I'll say that much.
Beyond the open flame, what are the new technologies will debut?
currently right now, there's actually one of the houses. I'll just say it's the Legendary Truth House was a house that we actually came up with concept-wise 2 years ago. And we put it back on the shelf about halfway through the process because there was some gags and some things we wanted to do within the house that we felt we just weren't ready to do. We didn't have enough time to commit to the R&D on some of the stuff. So we put it back on the shelf last year. So when the time came to actually come up with a concept for this year, we took it back off the shelf. Actually, something we do a lot. There's when we come up with our houses, we usually come up with about 15 or 16 different concepts. And again, we know going into it how many we're going to do for that year. Obviously, this year it was 8. So that leaves 8 still on the shelf that we kind of put away and say, well, when the next year comes along, let's put them back off. Let's see what we got and see if we can use them. So the Legendary Truth House was one of those houses. And the line of thinking for that house is we really wanted to present a haunted maze that truly is a haunted maze. In the past, we did the Caretakers Scream House. It was, again, kind of a very almost fiction-esque concept. But still, it was very rooted in an overall concept. And this year, we really wanted to attempt a house that truly is a haunted experience, dealing in paranormal things. So with that came some new ideas of how do we achieve to produce a ghost to the guest. What are the gags we can do that present specters and spirits and things like that? So a lot of time and effort went into some of the gags that are presented in the Legendary Truth House. So without going into specific, I don't want to give any gags away because we obviously want people to be surprised when they come. There is some new ideas and some new gags that we have not done at our event before that our guests will see in the Legendary Truth House. That's just naming one.
Please.
Hello?
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 In past years, I've always really enjoyed your original houses more than the third-party, movie-based ones, and it seems like you're going exclusively with that this year. Is that part of experimenting for the future and seeing what'll stick?
Absolutely. Part of the concept phase, we decided that Halloween Horror Nights itself is a strong enough tradition, so we don't need to go outside this year. We wanted everything to be in-house. We didn't need to go shopping for anybody's IP. Halloween Horror Nights itself is a strong enough IP. We really wanted to go all original this year because, and to Mike's point earlier, we want to give back not only to the guests or the fans that know this event inside and out and have been coming for the last 2 decades, but also to show those people that might be coming for the first time what we have in store for them coming up.
So, I mean, that being said, can we not expect, creatures or, ideas from movies to be in the houses? Like, last year we had Ash from Army of Darkness.
No. You may see a couple IP characters, maybe a Wolfman, maybe a Frankenstein, maybe things like that. But to dedicate an entire experience to one property, we did not want to do that this year. To Patrick's point, we really wanted to make sure that this event celebrates Halloween Horror Nights and our brand and things that we've created. And with that, going into the concept, we really wanted to make sure that there was a kind of line of thinking that we kind of wanted to take it back to the way the event started. When this event started back in 91, 92, 93, it was all original content. Every maze you went through, the characters you saw, it was original ideas. And that's what made Halloween what it is today. That's what made Jack. Jack is ours. Caretaker is ours. These iconic personas that Halloween Horror Nights has created. We wanted to start the process of beginning that again. That's really important to us. And that's not to say that in the future that we won't approach an intellectual property. If one's popular enough and we know there's a fan base for it, absolutely. And if it's something that we're passionate about, absolutely we'll go after that. But we want to make sure that we're still furthering the Horror Nights brand as well and presenting our guests with what they've come to expect from us, and that's unique experiences and terrifying characters that they're only going to see here.
How much linkage is there between the Orlando Horror Nights and the Hollywood one?
That is two completely different creative teams. The only thing that's similar in a way is possibly the Bill and Ted show. When that show is written, that script is sent out to Hollywood, and they're given the script. But from there, we don't really have much input in how they're going to present it. They have an amazing event as well, our timelines are completely different when it comes to when we actually start creating the event. Like we said, our event is happening year-round. Their event happens a little bit later in the year, is when they start actually, conceiving it. But, it's two completely different creative teams that work on the Orlando event and the Hollywood event.
They're catering, and I'll add to that real quick, too. The reason they're different a lot, too, is that different audiences, different expectations. We've been in our 20th year, and our audience, as Mike and Patrick have talked about, really look towards us to create characters and give you stories you've never seen before. Our Hollywood sister park, basically as a movie studio, looks to produce and deal with a lot of the movie-based characters. And they've been very successful at that. So for their audience, they're starting to build an expectation. They're starting to build what their guests are looking for them to do for them. So in the last 2 or 3 years, I think you've definitely seen kind of different products and different ways that we interpret Halloween Horror Nights, the brand, in two different places, both successful, both very, very strong in their future. So it seems to be working, and that's what we're keep going with.
With now seeing this character Fear, obviously we don't see really much of the lantern anymore. Is the focus going to be taken more off the lantern and more on Fear, or can we expect to see the lantern more?
The lantern is definitely part of who Fear is. The lantern is Fear. The Fear is the lantern. Just because you're not seeing a lot of lantern right now doesn't make it any less important in the overall storyline. The lantern represents many of the visuals that you will see when you come to Halloween Horror Nights 20. The lantern is extremely important. The lantern represents Halloween 20 years. The lantern represents our past. And that fear that's been building for 20 years to create a physical embodiment of that fear. So to answer your question, yes, the lantern is extremely important.
So with the Z-Day house, did any inspiration come from the Zombie Survival Guide?
It's a great book. Max Brooks is a genius. Almost as funny as his dad. Obviously, with Legendary Truth, there was inspiration that came from another source, and you can't do zombies nowadays without somebody referencing the Zombie Survival Guide or World War Z or Zombieland or any of the other multitude of zombie movies that have come out in the last 10 years. Zombies are very chic now. Zombies are last year's vampires. They're doing fashion shows. They're doing CNEO. They are. Zombie chic.
You just coined a phrase, my friend.
Thank you.
Patent that immediately.
I will. It's copyright. But as far as the maze itself is concerned, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at where it goes. I don't think it's one thing for you to go on the lot on the internet and be able to type in the words zombie rules into Google and watch the hundreds of pages of every single person's got a different set of zombie rules pop up, and it's very easy to handpick rules from those. But we did our own take on what would actually happen if a zombie apocalypse were to occur. Those are things that keep us up at night.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And how would you deal with that? Who would you turn to teach you how to deal with zombies?
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, could you talk a little bit about, give us a hint about this year's Bill and Ted and talk a little about the future of that franchise?
Bill and Ted. It is in its 19th year as of this year, and I'm sure way back in 92 when it began, I'm sure no one thought it would last 19 years, but indeed it has. Those guys are eternally youthful and everlasting. Bill and Ted is an extremely unique show. I've been a part of it now for, this is my 9th year writing the show, my 5th year directing it, and... that show, what I love about it is that we get to do things that you normally don't get to do in a normal theme park setting. There are jokes we can do, there are things we can say, characters that you'll meet that you wouldn't normally see at Universal Orlando. But sure enough, Halloween Horror Nights provides the perfect brand for which we can present a show that is that unique and offers something really for everybody. As far as this year's show and kind of the evolution of Bill and Ted, because again, I've been on it 9 years, so I've actually seen this show literally evolve right before my eyes. The one thing that's changed about the show in the last, I'd say like 5 to 7 years, is the YouTube audience, the internet, the person that goes on the internet a lot of time, attention spans have gotten extremely shorter in relation to entertainment. I know I can speak for myself. When I watch a YouTube clip, I rarely watch the whole thing. I'll start it, I'll watch about 15 seconds, and then if it's good, I'll fast forward to the end and see how it ended up. But it's rare I'll sit there, and this is almost a pet peeve of mine, the fact that I do this. I'll sit there and go, why didn't I watch the whole thing? Because really our attention spans have gotten so short, and I've had to really adjust the structure of the show to kind of fit that, because it's rare someone will sit and watch the same thing for more than a minute or two nowadays. So the structure of the show has kind of forced its own path, with which every minute or minute and a half, you're going to see something new in that show, merely because the structure has to be that way. Obviously, every year there is a very loose plot with the show, but the fans of that show accept that, and anyone that's new to the show, it's there might be a kind of a culture shock there, but if you've been with Bill and Ted for at least for the 9 years I've been a part of it, and for the 19 that it's been in existence, you really know what you're getting yourself into when you go to a Bill and Ted show. The structure is very formulaic, and there was a year where we kind of went away from that, and I'll be honest, it wasn't one of the most successful years. The fans of that show really like a particular format, and I've really tried to stick with that and listen to the fans and listen, to what people say when they leave, and every year that all that thought goes into it. And obviously, it's a pop culture show. We're going to try and make light of a lot of the events of the past year, and this year will be no different. But one thing I will reveal, I think it's okay to reveal this, the one minor storyline in the show right now is Bill and Ted maybe in the story, I'll preface that, in the story, face possible replacement. I'll leave it there. In the story, because I don't want anyone to say, Bill and Ted's getting replaced, they're not going to do Bill and Ted anymore. No. Bill and Ted's staying, sticking around. But for this year, for the story, Bill and Ted find themselves in an odd predicament. And I'll leave it there. And then with the show itself, we've kind of all stated, this is my last year with Bill and Ted. That's kind of in the books right now. I want to try and do some new things within the event in the future. And so with this year being my last year, there are some thematics and some storylines and some, even the way the set looks, and some ideas that I really wanted to put into this year's show, because I've never had an opportunity in the past, because maybe there was a popular film that overtook it or something else. But there are some things in the show this year that are kind of passion project-esque, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Is the Unmasking the Horror Tour going to be coming back this year for the guests?
Yeah, I believe it is. And who is this I'm talking to? I'm sorry. Hello?
Who asked the question?
HHN Collective.
Yeah, I can send you some information about it.
Okay.
And guys, I'm sorry, we have time for like 2 more questions.
I talk a lot. Sorry, no. Guys.
Actually, I want to say, as far as the Unmasking the Horror Tour, I think almost everyone on the phone would probably be interested in that one.
Okay, great. I can send that around then.
Thanks.
And RIP tours, is there anything going up about those?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll send that as well.
Great.
All right. This is kind of behind-the-scenes question for you guys and kind of long shot. Looking at the storyline for this year, where the past icons, Jack, Director, Storyteller, are now Gods of Chaos, Vengeance, etc., all those years back since 2000 when you guys created those icons, did you already have this in mind or not?
That's a fact that I can honestly say that we don't want to reveal. I will say this. When you look back at the past, whether it was purposeful or not, there are, you can look back at every year of this event and find something, and there is something that links each event to something else. And in beginning this process, we went back into those years and tried to find a common thread. Because even as far back as we went, we didn't work on this event, you know, back in 2000. Patrick and I weren't on. TJ Mandarino was.
He's just moving his hand. I'm in my wheelchair right now.
But Patrick, you know, we came to the event as fans. Or, yep. Like, for me, I was working in the event. I was on the Chainsaw Drill team in those years. Or I was the captain of the Fritanic. Or, you know, so... But we did do the work to go back into those events and find a common thread. And ideally, that thread is fear. If you look at those icons, Jack, he instills fear. Caretaker examines fear. Storyteller speaks fear. The director captures fear. Usher shows us the way to fear. When we started saying these things, we were in our concept, and fear kept coming up all the time. Fear, fear, fear. And right at that moment, it was almost like a light bulb coming on and saying, fear is real. It's real, and that's what we're going to present this year. What does fear look like? If I'm to say I'm consumed by fear, that brings up really jarring images if that's a physical thing.
If I'm in fear's grasp, that's scary.
If fear's now a physical presence, when you say those things that are commonplace in, you know, in phrases, to be consumed by fear, to be in fear's grasp, to be frozen in fear, those phrases now spark really jarring images, and that's something we really latched onto when we were coming up with the concept for this year, and in creating the extensive backstory that was written months ago that TJ and the web team have completely elaborated on and grown into this amazing storyline, this backstory of Adaru and Sumerian gods. And I mean, it's really deep. And if you're a fan of that stuff, if you're a fan of the event and really want to get deeper into the storyline, Legendary Truth is definitely the outlet. The Legendary Truth Facebook page is the outlet. There are avenues to be able to figure out and to dissect the layers that this event has this year. And that's something we're really proud of. The fact that, you know, that not only are we celebrating 20 years of Horror Nights and the fact we've been doing it bigger and better than anybody else, but also for this year, we have an amazing storyline that is very deep and forgives our guests literally the best of both worlds. They're going to get their icons and they're going to get brand new things all in the same event. And we couldn't ask for a more complete 20th year, in my opinion.
With 2002, you guys obviously ran into issues as far as the child abductions and eliminated your icon, and it was, you know, very public on that. What made it different to go ahead and do a house more or less based on a children aspect this year?
Sydney's always been a pseudo icon. She's always been when she was when she was put out into the public awareness that year, and then not used, the fans of the event, there was an outrage there with the fans because they had already kind of gotten used to her. And you know, that event, of course, switched up that year. That was the caretaker year.
Yes,
yeah, if we had done Cindy that year, we would have never had a caretaker. So it's amazing how things kind of fall into place. But definitely, we've known, you know, since Cindy was first created, that she definitely has a fan base that was merely created by the fans. They built backstories that we then kind of, you know, placed her images in certain houses that the caretaker was associated with. And she was always kind of present in kind of an ethereal nature. So we definitely thought this year, you know, she is not the icon of the event. However, we knew that for the 20th year, one of the new things we wanted to present for our fans and for the guests that come to this event year after year is a house that's centered around Cindy, because we've known for a long time that the fans have been crying out to see more of her. It was really evident last year when we did that scare zone. That was only the last two weekends of the event. Where
Shadows
she was
of the Past.
Caretaker. People went crazy. Jack was like right next to her, and I saw it with my own eyes. People would avoid Jack and run over to Cindy to get a picture with her, or to just see what she looked like and see her with the caretaker. That was eye-opening to see that and to know how many fans out there desperately want to see her more in this event. So for Halloween Horror Nights 20, We are definitely giving them that. She has her own house, and she is in full glory.
Going back to the whole concept of fear, how do you actually conceptualize that and bring that raw emotion to actually have a face? I mean, what is this guy going to look like?
Oh, well, see, is this Eric?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Eric, how's it going? I recognize your voice, man. This is one of the things that I'm kind of a little timid to speak on right now, because as the weeks come on, as the weeks go by, I see more and more of fear. But let me tell you, what you have glimpsed so far in the video that was released last night, you're seeing a lot of his kind of facial structure a little bit. There's a lot going on with this guy, a lot. He is a big, big thing. And there's glimpses, you know, I'm sure fans are going frame by frame in the, because I would do the same thing, are going frame by frame in that video, picking out all the detail. There's a lot going on. And slowly but surely, as the weeks progress, you're going to see a lot more of him and more of that detail and more of how he links back to 20 years of Horror Nights. There's detail in his character that's been created that really show, plain as day or night, depending on where you're at, that show the fact that he has been with this event, that fear has been with this event for 20 years. And when you look at him, you'll definitely know it. And that's one thing I'm really, really anxious to see is when people start seeing more of him, what the reaction is going to be. Because it's already really good. Some of the boards have been reading. Everyone's really excited by the fact that we have more of a monster-esque icon rather than a human-based icon, which, again, that was a line of thinking. When this guy stands among those five, the five that we're calling out as the five icons, when he stands there with them, you know that he's of a higher level. He's a bigger presence.